Today's Shir is Masechta Milah Da Beis. We begin the new Masechta Beis, Hashem Yisbarach, Masechta Milah. Milah, the Masechta, the subject of our Masechta, is if someone takes an item that belongs to Hegdish and uses it for his own personal need. As most Rishonim explain, the definition of the word Mi'ilah means Shini Rishus, taking something out of the Rishus of Hegdish and using it for one's own personal need. Although I did see that Evan Ezra explains that the definition of Mi'ilah is from the word means rebellion, and it shows a lack of respect, a rebellious attitude towards Hegdish. Something is Hegdish. It's holy. You shouldn't be using it for yourself. Interestingly says that in Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh, there are two words that speak about that type of activity. One is the word Mi'ilah, and the one is the word Begida. And he explains that the difference between the word Mi'ilah and Begida both come from words that have a root with clothing. Begida comes from the word Beged, a garment, and Mi'ilah comes from the word Mi'il. He says the difference between Mi'ilah and Begida is that Begida is a beged that we don't necessarily see. It could be an undergarment. Beged refers to all types of garments. Mi'ilah is the Mi'il, which was an outer garment that the Kohen Gadol wore. Both of them refer to somebody acting disrespectfully towards Hegdish. The difference is, or towards authority, the difference is that Mi'ilah is something which is obvious. Begida is a disrespect which is not as obvious. Insidious. So the Rishonim and Achronim already explain why does Masechta Mi'ilah come after Masechta Krisis. The Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis explains because Mi'ilah is not as serious as an Aveira, as the Averis that we spoke about in Masechta Krisis. In Masechta Krisis we spoke about an Averis that one could have Rachmanot Tzlan Achiyif Kares, whereas Mi'ilah carries with it Achiyif Karban Asham, carrying the Chaimish, as we'll speak about in a moment, but no Kares. The Rishash says a simpler explanation. The Rishash says, because we follow the order that the Torah discusses, the Torah speaks about first the Achiyif Kares, then the Karban Ayil V'yarid, and then the Asham Mi'ilas. So the Masechtas follow the sequence of the Torah. Another pshat is if we recall the Mishnah Masechta Krisis Daf Kav Zayin spoke about Mi'ilah. So since the Mishnah Masechta Mi'ilah spoke about Masechta Krisis spoke about Mi'ilah, it makes sense that now we begin discussing the halachas of Mi'ilah. Another pshat that I saw, a very interesting pshat, is that the last Gemara that we learned the Masechta Krisis was about Talmidei Chachamim. Tamidei Chachamim Ma'abim Sholem Ba'olam. And our Mishnah, homiletically, is continuing to discuss that concept. Kotche Kotchim. Who are the Kotche Kotchim? The Tamidei Chachamim. Sheshachtam B'Dorom. Dorom represents the Tamidei Chachamim. As the Pasuk says, Haroitza Lachachim Yadrim. And if somebody doesn't treat the Talmidei Chachamim with the proper respect, Mayalim Behem, there's a issue, given that the greatness of the Talmidei Chachamim, as we discussed in our previous year, must be maintained, somebody who doesn't do so, Mayalim Behem, it's a horrible Aveira of Mi'ilah. The basic halacha of Mi'ilah, as we just mentioned, is that you take something that's Hegdish and you use it for your own purpose. That halacha that the Torah speaks about Mi'ilah, where there's a carbon Asham Mi'ilas, is when somebody did Mi'ilah b'shoigig. Somebody did Mi'ilah b'shoigig, the Torah says he has to pay back a keren the chaymish, and he also has to bring an Asham Mi'ilas. If somebody did Mi'ilah b'mezid, there is no chiv carbon, then there's the chiv of Malkus. It's also interesting to note that as we know, there are two types of kotchim when we speak about karbonis. kachay kachim and kachim kalim. But the halachas of me'ila by kachim kachim and by kachim kalim, we could almost say are the opposite of each other. By kachay kachim, as soon as you designate an animal as a carbon, that animal becomes subject to the halachas of me'ila. Once you finish the zrikas adam of that carbon, so the part of the carbon, the amram that belong on the mizbeach, are still subject to me'ila. The rest of the carbon now becomes the meat of the kahanim and is not subject to me'ila. By kachim kalim, until the zrika is done, there is no me'ila. Once the zrika is done, then the amram part of those kabanas, which belong on the mizbeach, now becomes subject to me'ila. A carbon oil is different, because since all of the oil is burnt on the mizbeach, so the oil from when it's designated, even after the zrikas adam, besides the skin of the oil, remains subject to the hilchas me'ila. But that's when we speak about kachim, kachi aguf, animals that were designated for a carbon. But when we speak about kadusha stamim, we noted this kadusha stamim, an item that was designated to be kadush, but it's not an animal, any material, kadusha stamim, kadusha by the kabayas, as we will learn in our mesechta, are also subject to hilchas me'ila. But there are some very fundamental differences in when it's considered that me'ila has happened by kedushas haguf and kedushas tamim. By kedushas tamim, we consider me'ila to have happened when we take down the value of the item by a pruta. We're poigim it. We make it worth less than what it was originally. Whereas by something that has kedushas, by kedushas aguf, we are only over me'ila, not when we diminish its value, when we devalue it, but as soon as we have ano, that's worth a pruta. Furthermore, there's another halacha, which we're going to discuss later in the Masechta, of me'ila, ach me'ila, if once you've done me'ila, does that item become deconsecrated and still subject to hilchas me'ila? There too, there's a difference between kedushas aguf, where it perhaps remains kadosh, and kedushas tamim, where it loses the kedusha. When we speak about the aveira me'ila, the achroinim of Chaim Brisker, the Nesivis, other achroinim have a very fundamental question: what is the aveira of me'ila? Is the aveira of the me'ila that somebody stole from hegdish by taking something that belongs to hegdish and using it for his own benefit? Or is the Isser Me'ila a different Isser? The Isser Me'ila is that somebody disrespected, treated Hegdish without the respect that Hegdish deserves and is supposed to receive. There are Achroyim that want to distinguish between an item that has Kedushas Haguf versus an item that has Kedushas Damim. An item that has Kedushas Haguf, it could be that the issue is the disrespect, the aveira of disrespecting it, whereas something that has kedushas tamim, the aveira is the gzeila, stealing from hegdish. It's interesting to note that the Rambam, after he discusses hilchas me'ila, says if here we learn that one can be over the aveira me'ila, when we take an animal, or we take a piece of gold or silver, and if it's hegdish, and as we just described, at least briefly, that as soon as you use it for your own benefit, you've done a terrible aveira. How much more so, says the Rambam, if somebody takes something which is holy, if somebody takes the holy Torah, the Heilige Torah, and he disrespects it, that is certainly considered an act of me'ila. And I saw in the Sefer Evan Yisrael, the Tshuvas Evan Yisrael from Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Fisher, who says, what does that mean, that someone is moil in the Torah? He says, the definition of being moil in the Torah doesn't specifically mean that somebody, chas v'shalom, just acted disrespectfully to Sefer Torah. People don't do so. But if somebody doesn't treat Talmidei Chachamim with the proper respect, or somebody doesn't treat Torah learning with the proper respect, he has a kviyas, he has a time that he's supposed to learn every day, or he's supposed to learn a daf gemara every day, but he doesn't take that obligation seriously. He doesn't use his available time to learning Torah. That is also, according to the Rambam, a condition of Me'ila. So as we begin our Masechta, we will do just the opposite of doing the opposite of Me'ila by learning Torah. Begins the Mishnah Kachi Kachim, and as Tosfos points out, the Mishnah specifically speaks about Kachi Kachim, because as we just said a moment ago, Kachi Kachim are subject to Me'ila from the very inception, whereas Kachim Kalim are only subject to Me'ila after the Zrika, and here we're speaking about if there's Me'ila from the beginning. Sheshachtem Bedarim. We know that the halacha is that the avoid of the Kachi Kachim is supposed to be done B'tzofon, in the north side of the Azara. And here we speak about Kachi Kachim Sheshachtem Bedarim, so they were processed improperly. Mayalam Behem. And what the Mishnah, as we're going to say, is teaching us, as the Gemara explains, that even though something has been done improperly with this carbon, still, and maybe not just to say still, but on the more so, so the animal will not lose its kedusha, because it can't be eaten, because it wasn't processed, so to speak, properly, and therefore it remains subject to Me'ila. Obviously, explain the Mefarshim, it is the opinion of our Mishnah that Kachi Kachim, or Kachi Kachim it seems, have all of the avoida done specifically in the Tzofen. There are Rishonim that suggest that not all Kachi Kachim have to be done B'Tzofen, only Kachi Kachim that are the Kabbalah Tzibur, and therefore they will explain that our Mishnah is speaking about Kabbalah Tzibur. There are other Mefarshim that say that even if we'll say that a private carbon, which is Kachi Kachim, need not be processed B'Tzofen, the halacha, however, remains that if the owner requested that it be done B'Tzofen, the halacha is that they must be done B'Tzofen. And here we're talking about a case where instead of doing it B'Tzofen, the person did it, they did it B'Dorim. So if somebody improperly brought the carbon bedarim, my alam behen, they remain subject to the hilchas me'ila. Says the Mishnah, shachtem bedarim v'kibol dam b'tzofen. The shechita was done in the wrong place, but the kabbalas hadam was done in the right place. Or the shechita was done b'tzofen. If the shechita was done in the right place, but the kabbalas hadam was done bedarim, in all these cases, the halacha is that they're still subject to me'ila. So Tosfos, and just to make a comment, the Mefarshim explain that the primary reason to follow in learning Masech Me'ila is Tosfos. Because Tosfos' Masech Me'ila is a different style than Tosfos is throughout Shas. Because here Tosfos is not just somebody who asks questions and answers. Tosfos says Poshup Shat in the Gemara, and what's written here as Rashi, most Mefarshim say, is not Rashi. The Mefarshim call him the Mefarish. He's certainly a Rishon, certainly a very great Rishon with very nice pshat, but it's not Rashi. And Tosfos discusses a situation. Our Mishnah speaks about the Shechita being done improperly, but the Kabbalah being done properly, or vice versa. But what would be the Halacha, discusses Tosfos, if both the Shechita and the Kabbalah were done bedarim? What would be the halacha? And Tosfos quotes two opinions. One opinion is that if both the shechita and the kabbalah were done improperly, then certainly this carbon loses its kedusha and it's not subject to me'ila anymore. And that's one pshat. The other pshat is no. That just like shachtem bedarim v'kibol dam b'tzofen or vice versa, the carbon is still subject to me'ila, so too will be the halacha even if the shechita and the kabbalah were done bedarim. In fact, those Rishonim say that the first words of the Mishnah of Kachi Kachim Sheshachtem Bedarim May Alam Behem speak about that case where everything was done bedarim and it's subject to Me'ila. And then the Mishnah continues, not even if everything was done bedarim is it subject to Me'ila, but even when not everything was done, are they still subject to Me'ila? The other Rishonim disagree, because they say that if so much was done improperly, the Shechita and the Kabbalah, then that carbon loses its Kedusha, And since that carbon loses the Kedusha, the halacha is that it's not subject to Mila. And the way the Mefarshim use this concept is that we find in halacha a very interesting point that the Paiskim make. We find in halacha that sometimes an act is acceptable b'di'eved, but not l'chatchila. But they say sometimes if you combine a number of b'di'evids, then it becomes even disqualified b'di'evid. I saw a number of examples. One example is we know that chalitza l'chatchila should be done when the man is standing. But the evid, if the man is sitting, it's acceptable. There's another halacha, that when chalitza is done, the man's foot should be firmly on the ground with the shoe. If it's not firmly on the ground, but the evid, it's fine. But say the paiskim, let's say you have a person that the man is sitting and his foot is not firmly on the ground. So now we already have two b'di'evids, then that chalitz is not acceptable. Another example I saw. We know that in kashering meat, regular meat and liver are not kashered in the same way. Liver, we learned the Gemara Masech, the chulin, is kulay dam, it's considered one piece of blood. And therefore, l'chatchila, one should not kasher meat and liver together. But the b'di'evid, if one kashered meat and liver together, it's acceptable. Similarly, we don't really eat that meat, but b'nei ma'ayim, the intestine meat, also should not be kashered together with other meat. But the b'di'evid, if it's kashered together, it's acceptable. But what happens if you kashered regular meat and liver and intestines all together? So now you have two b'di'evids, it's not acceptable. Here too, since you had both the shechit and the kabbalah, b'dorim, say those rishonim, that already the animal loses the kedusha. Another case, shachet b'yoyim v'zorek b'layla. If you did the shechit by day, but the zrika by night, where we know that all the avoid of a carbon has to be done b'yoyim, or b'layla v'zorek b'yoyim, in this case as well, even though the carbon has been, because the carbon has been processed improperly, therefore the halacha is that the carbon doesn't lose its kedusha and it remains subject to hilchos milah. Taisus makes an observation. Taisus says that we look at the first case of the Mishnah, shachet b'dorim v'kibul dam b'tzofen v'kibul dam b'dorim. The second case is a bigger chiddush than the first case. Why? Because there, with a kabbalah stam, which is a more important avoider than the shechita, because the halacha is that shechita has to be done. Shechita could be done by Yisrael. Kabbalah stam could be done only by a kohen. So the halacha of the Mishnah is shachtem b'dorim v'kibul dam b'tzofen. It's certainly subject to mila. But tzofen v'kibul dam b'dorim, it's chiddush that it's not subject to mila. Here we have just the opposite. The other case is, in this case, shachet b'yoyim v'zorek b'layla, the first case is the bigger chiddush, because zrika is more important than shechita. And b'layla v'zorek b'yoyim is the smaller chiddush. So Taisus says the order is not consistent, and therefore Taisus changes the order of the second case, and he says that it should be read just the opposite. Shachet b'layla v'zorek b'yoyim, and then b'yoyim v'zorek b'layla, to remain consistent in its style. Other Rishonim maintain the order of the Mishnah, and they say that Shachet B'layla represent, and they saw two explanations how to maintain the gifts of our Mishnah. One is because Shachet B'layla does represent a bigger Chiddush. Because although, as we just explained, Shachet B'layla is not as much of a psul as Zrika B'layla, but when you did Shechita B'layla, there are two Averis that are happening. The actual shechita that was done b'layla, and now we also have a situation of halon estam, that the dam is being left over past the proper time. And therefore, it represents the bigger chiddush, as in the first case, or it represents the bigger chiddush, the second case represents the bigger chiddush, as in the first case, the second case represents the bigger chiddush. Or another way of explaining is that there's an interesting observation which the Rishonim make in learning this Mishnah. In the first case, the two avoids that are discussed are Shechita and Kabbalah. We know that there are four avoidas by every carbon. We learned this from Masechta Zvachim. Shechita, Kabbalah, Hilacha, Zrika. In the second case that the Mishnah discusses, it speaks about Shechita and Zrika. And Kabbalah, Hilacha are not spoken about. Why are Kabbalah and Halacha not spoken about? Kabbalah and Halacha are not spoken about because they go together with the Shechita. And therefore it's very geschmack. Yes, you did the Zrika B'yoyim. But you did the Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, B'layla. And therefore you would think it certainly should not be subject to Mila anymore. You did all three avoidas, still it's subject to Mila. We discussed also Masechet Zvachim. If somebody has a machshava that he's going to do the Aktara after the proper time, or eat the carbon after the proper time, or bring the carbon in the wrong place, so that carbon becomes pigel. And even though, as the Rishonim point out, Chutz L'Zmanai represents pigel that has a chiv kares, Chutz L'Mkaimai does not carry with it a chiv kares, still, the Chutz L'Zmanai is a much more, the Chutz L'Zmanai, still, so there's no need to teach us Chutz L'Mkaimai if we learned Chutz L'Zmanai, but they always are mentioned together, and that's why our Mishnah mentions them together. So here too, even though the carbon became pigel, and therefore I would think it should no longer be susceptible to Hilchus Me'ila, teaches us the Mishnah, Mayal Behem, it's still subject to Hilchus Me'ila. For concludes the Mishnah with a rule, Chaklal Amar Bishua, Kol Shais Lo Shas Het L'Kahanim, once the carbon became Mutal L'Kahanim, that all the procedures were done properly, Ein Mayal Behem, then the meat is no longer subject to Me'ila. However, the Kol Shlo Hayis Lo Shas Het L'Kahanim, if the procedures weren't followed properly, and therefore the Kahana will never be able to eat from that meat of that carbon, my alambay, it remains subject to Hilchus Me'ila. And explains the Mishnah, Ezi Shayis Lo Shas Het L'Kahanim, what does it mean that the carbon became mutter? That the carbon was processed properly, and then only afterwards, Shalona, it was left overnight. Shenitma became Tamei. Ushiyatsu was taken out of the proper place where it may be. Kachikachim out of the Azara. But since the carbon was processed properly, it no longer, the meat is no longer subject to Mila. What is the case that it was never Muta? Shenishchata chutz l'zmana chutz m'kaymai. And the Rishonim already asked, we've already spoken about this halacha, why is it repeated? And the Rishonim said, because as we just said, it's so hard to understand how a carbon can be pigel, which we discussed so many times as the example of such a disqualification, and yet it should still be considered kodesh and subject to Hilchus Me'ila, or the Shekibul Psulim. Rashi says the definition of Psulim means that Temeim, or Temeim did Zrikas Adam. Since that Basar doesn't become Mutter, because you know a Tamei certainly can't do the Avoida, that carbon doesn't become mutter, remains subject to Hilchus Me'ila. Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah began, Chtani, Kachi Kachim Shishachtim Bedarim, Mayalim Behem. If the Shechita was done Bedarim, they're still subject to Hilchus Me'ila. Ask the Marpshita, obviously, Mishum the Shechitasim Bedarim, because the Shechita was done on the south side, Afkirim Bedei Me'ila, what took out this carbon from being subject to Hilchus Me'ila that the Mishnah needs to tell us? Only if the carbon, as we said, was processed properly, then there is no Din HaMe'ila, then the Din HaMe'ila falls away. What should make the Din HaMe'ila fall away here? Itzrach answers the Gemara. There is a Chiddush in our Mishnah. Sakadat Chemina, Harav Ula Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kashu Shemei Siyotzim Dei Me'ila. Once an animal dies, it's no longer subject to Me'ila. And there are many explanations in the Achroinim as to why. One explanation is that once an animal, that when somebody is Magdish an animal, he's only Magdish that it should have Kedusha until it dies. Once it dies, he understood up front when he was Magdish it that it would lose its Din Hegdish. Another pshat is that Hegdish has no use from an animal that's dead. And since Hegdish has no use from an animal that's dead, it's worthless and it's not subject to Mila. Or it's a Gzeiros HaKasev. And there's an interesting Machloikas Rishonim. Certainly an animal that's dead, a Kachim animal that dies, there's no use for. Because as we learned many times in the Masechta Temura, Ein Poidim as HaKachim L'Achilam L'Klovim. The only thing we could do with it, that animal is feed it to dogs. It's in the Vela. We're not allowed to eat it. And we're not allowed to be part of the kachim with the purpose of giving it to dogs. But the Mishnah, so it's also bahano. It's certainly also bahano. There's no way we could redeem that hegdish. Machorkis Rishonim, if that Issa Hano is an Issa Daraisa, or it's an Issa Darabon. So, since we just learned that Kachem Shemesu Yotzim De Mila Dvat Torah, Hachinami, so we would think, Kachem Lagabadorim, that when we process the Kachem Kachem, when we did the Avoida, as we just described in the Mishnah, of Kachem Kachem on the Dorm side of the Mizbeach, command the Chankinu Dami, it's like the animal is dead. I have no use for it. Kamash Malon, that's why our Mishnah comes to teach us. Kachim Shemesu, Kachim that died for the reasons that we just gave, Lechazu Klal, are worthless for the various explanations, and therefore are no longer subject to Hilchas Me'ilah. Avodorim, Ned in a royal Kachim Kachim. When it comes to Kachim Kachim, that's not where they should be done. Avroyhu Lekachim Kalim, but they still have value for Kachim Kalim. Therefore, the halacha is they're still subject to Hilchas Me'ilah. So the Mefarshim obviously all ask, the Rishonim all ask. So yes, Kachim Kalim can be brought on the Dorim. But we're not speaking about Kachim Kalim. We're speaking about Kachim Kachim. So what's the Mishnah saying? Kachim Kalim can be done on the Dorim. But that's not our issue. So the shot that most Rishonim try to give is that since the halacha is that by Kachim Kalim, the halacha is that it can be done bedarim. So here too, even though I didn't bring the Kachim Kachim properly, I did it b'tzofen, but it still has some vestige of being done properly, and therefore the halacha will be im olu lo yerdu. If they're put on the Mizbeach, they may remain on the Mizbeach, and therefore they're still considered Kachim, and therefore still subject to Hilchas Me'ilah. There are two problems with this pshat. One problem is in the Gemara should have said it. The Gemara uses different words, but what should the Gemara say? Because Imolo lo yerdu. And the other problem is, as we're about to learn a Gemara Mitzvah Shem on Amud Beis, we see that that's actually a machloikis, and not everybody holds that if you shach the bedarim, Imolo lo yerdu. And therefore, other Mefarshim give different explanation. They say, a number of pshatim that I saw. One pshat that I saw is that the Gemara means to say it's obvious that Dorim is not such a big issue. For if Dorim was such a terrible issue, why should the halacha be that if you shecht the Dorim, that if you shecht the Dorim by Kachim Kalim? The fact that the Torah says that you could shecht Kachim Kalim Dorim is clearly an indication that it's not such a big problem. One pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that we think, posh pshat, that the issue is that you're not allowed to shech the carbon that's kachim adorim. That isn't the issue. In yeshivas they used to explain, it's not that you're not allowed to shech the bedorim. You have to shech the betzofen. Bedorim for itself doesn't represent an issue, and therefore it's still kachim. And therefore, with these explanations, we can answer a question. We also learned the Masechta Temura, that there is the opinion of Rava, that kamal sadam rachmana leisavit, anything that the Torah said you shouldn't do, I ovid loy mahani. And therefore, why here is it still considered kachim? The answer is for the reasons that we just gave. I saw one more pshat. We always understand that there are two categories of kachim. We said it in our introductory remarks. There's Kachim Kalim, and there's Kachim Kachim. There's actually, that's not the way to look at it, say some Achroinim. You know what Kachim Kachim means? Kachim Kachim means it's Kachim Kalim plus. It's an elevated, it's an upgraded category of Kachim Kalim. If so, every Kachim Kachim has in it some sort of Kachim Kalim. And Kachim Kalim may be slaughtered in Dorim, maybe done by Dorim, and therefore it's still Kachim and subject to Hilchas Me'ilah. Ask the Gemara, Lamalul Mr. Kohani, but why does the Mishnah have to mention the other examples? Answers the Gemara, Tzrichi, Itan Shach the Bedarim, the Kibbal Dam Bitsafan, Hecha is b'mila. It's still subject to mila. B'shem de kabbalah b'tzafenu. And as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, the shechit is not considered such a significant avoida because the halacha shechit is k'sher b'zor. Kabbalah, which has to be done strictly by kohen, was done b'tzafen. Avol shachtem b'tzafen. The kibul dam b'darim. Hoyel the kibul b'darim. And kabbalah, as we just said, is a much more important avoida because kabbalah must be done strictly by kohen. There, maskim aday nevila. V'tanehai, if we only learnt this case, have amina that in these cases, yes, you did some avoid the bedarim, but you did it, all the avoidance that you did be your mama, which is man hakrovahu, which is the time that avoid ought to be done. Avos shach the belaila, when you did the avoid the belaila, the zorek b'yoim, or where since laila loves man hakrovah, all kabbonis may not be done belaila. The hide is shofik belaila, and therefore here where the shkita was done belaila, ema, the nafik midei meila, since it was done belaila, and laila is a psul, not only by kachikachim, but it's a psul even by kachikalim. Vitana shokht belaila, have min a hoyo vakiba dam beyoin. It did the shkita belaila, but shkita is not such a significant avoid as we just said, because shkita may be done bizarre. And did Kabbalah stam, or the Mishnah said the Zrik was done by Yoim, that's why it's still Kaidish. And that's why it's still subject to Mila. Ava Shachtim by Yoim, the Zerah Daman Belaila, where we know that the Zrika is the most important Avoida. And here that most important Avoida was done by Laila. Horo Velav has Mana Krabuhu. So this important Avoida of Zrik, which is the most important Avoida, was done in a time where all Kabbalahs are disqualified. Because no carbon may be done, belaila. That should be considered commandach and kindami, as if the animal died. And as we said a few moments ago, an animal that's dead is not subject, v'loi ispay me'ila, is not subject to hilchus me'ila, kamashmuan, that it's still subject to me'ila. So the Rishonim ask, so why don't we just have this case? That if you did it belaila, which is such a significant psul, that loch is that it's still subject to Mila. So certainly, Dorim itself, and it should be subject to Mila. Through Shainim answer. On the other hand, we see that Laila is this man, that Avram and Bedorim. There were certain avoidance that were specifically done, the Laila. And therefore, maybe we would say, the Laila is not such a significant psul. And therefore, even though the avoid was done, the Laila, it's still subject to Mila, but not the other case. That's why the Mishnah had to mention both cases. Ask the Gemara, and here we have a Machloikas Rishonim, how to learn this Gemara. The Mefarish explains, Chutz L'Zman V'Chutz M'Kayim L'May Chazal. As we just explained, Dorim is not such a big issue, because Dorim we could use by Kachim Kalim. Laila is also not such a big issue, as we just explained. But when you made pigel, chutz l'zmanei, chutz m'kaymai, it's a huge error. It's a huge problem. Why is that still subject to hilchus mi'ila? Teaches us hoyel m'ratzim b'gulim. That zrika is a significant avoida. We see that that's zrika because the halacha is that an animal is not subject to hilchus mi'ila, to hilchus pigel, unless all of the avoidas were done properly, including the Zrika. So since that pigle is so significant that it turns the animal into pigle, so that's why it still has the din of kachim. That's how Rashi learns, Mefarish learns. Tysus learns that the Gemara's question is that chutz l'zman and chutz m'kayim should be considered certainly like it's dead. And since it's considered that it's certainly like it's dead, why is the halacha that it's subject to Mila? To which the Gemara answers, it still has some sort of significance, and the halacha is an olu lo yardu. A word of introduction to the next Gemara. There's a Gemara we learned in Masechta Zvachim, that pay Dalad, a machloikis, Rav Shimon, and Rav Yehuda. It is the opinion of Rav Shimon that all kabbonis, if there was a disqualification, im olu la yardu, if for whatever reason they were done improperly, and malu, but if they remain on the Mizbeach, layardu, they shouldn't be taken off. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And Rabbi Yehuda says, a carbon that was nishkata balayla, that was brought by night, or a carbon that was nishbach dama, if it was its blood was spilled out, or a carbon that was that its dam was taken outside the azara, there the halacha is that those kabbanis im olu yardu. That means he agrees that normally the halacha is im olu la yardu. The shaila here is that the exception are these three cases based on psukim that we learned that Rabbi Yehuda will say im olu yardu. Ask the Gemara, and this is the way everybody agrees we should learn the Gemara. Ibarim olu maushi yardu. We just learned in our Mishnah the case where a carbon that's kachi kachim was done bedarim. And the Gemara's question is, what is the halacha in if a carbon was shechted bedarim, may it remain on the and it was put on the mizbeach anyway? Does it remain on the mizbeach or not? Rav's opinion is im olu yardu, that it should be removed. Rav Yosef Amar im olu la yardu. Says the Gemara, Aliva Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that gave these three examples, these three situations that we just gave, that he holds him olu yardu, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda will certainly hold, lo tibaylach, the kula am lo pligidim olu yardu. Why? Because if in those cases, where from the very inception, the carbon wasn't disqualified, the shechita wasn't done in the wrong place, still he holds that im olu yardu. Here, certainly, Rabbi Yehuda will agree, im olu yardu. Ki tibaylach, ki pligi, the machlokes that we just had of Rabbi Rav Yosef is alivid Rav Shimon. What will be Rav Shimon's opinion in this situation? Rav Yosef holds that just like Rav Shimon holds everywhere else, Daloch is im olu la yardu. In this case as well, Rav Shimon will hold im olu la yardu. Rav Amar, Rav says, at kan le kama Rav Shimon, till now Rav Shimon said, el ben etonen lamata shenos lamala, or ben etonen lamala shenos lamata. Only in cases where the carbon, the blood, was put in the wrong place. As we know, there was a chuta sikra, there was a red line right in the middle of the Mizbeach. Some kabbonis had to be done. The blood had to be sprinkled on the upper half of the Mizbeach, some on the lower half. There's a difference sometimes between if the carbon is a behema or a oif, as we'll discuss in tomorrow's shir. And that's where Rav Shimon holds that even though it was done in the wrong place, im olu la yardu. And as Tosfos points out, why from all of the exceptions that we've discussed, that Rav Shimon holds in olu la yardu, does the Gemara use this example of showing where Rav Shimon holds in olu la yardu? So he says a very beautiful pshat. Because this is an example of a case where something was done in the wrong place. And we begun the Ibarilu also speaking about where something was done bedorom in the wrong place. And therefore it's the perfect example. It's the perfect example where the halacha should be, where it's a perfect comparison. And therefore, at kan lo kama Rav Shimon, el b'tanu lamata shenasana lamala, or b'tanu lamala shenasana lamata, however, lo'olam d'shacht v'kibol dam b'tzofen. The shechit and the kabbalah stam were done in the proper place. Aval hoch, in the case that we're discussing, says Rava, kiven d'shacht v'dorim, so from its very inception, it was done improperly, and it's considered like it's not kachim at all, and therefore even Rav Shimon says Rava will agree in olu yardu. Ask the Gemara. We just learned in our Mishnah Tanan kachim kachim sheshachtem bedarim mayalim behem. The subject to Mila says the Gemara Bishlam l'Rav Yosef Nicha. Since we understand that even though he did something wrong, he did the shechita bedarim. But since Rabbi Yosef tells us that the halacha, at least according to Rabbi Shimon, is im olu la yardu, so we see that this carbon still has in it kedusha, And since it still says in the Kedusha, we understand why the Mishnah says Mayalim Behem. It's subject to Hilchas Mila. El Rava. That says that if the Shechita was done in the wrong place, everybody agrees in Molo Yerdu. So it has no Kedusha. Rava just said the words, Kamandach and Kinadami. And with Kamandach and Kinadami, the halacha is that it's not subject to Mila. So why does our Mishnah say that it's subject to Mila? Kasha. Answers the Gemara. Rava will explain that when our Mishnah says it's subject to Mila, it's my Alam Behen, it means Midrabbanan. Ask the Gemara. So now we're learning that the Mila that our Mishnah, according to Rava, refers to is not Mila Daraisa, but rather Mila Darabbanan. Ask the Gemara, my Ika being Daraisa Darabbanan. What's the difference between Mila of Daraisa and Mila Darabbanan? Answers the Gemara. Daraisa, if somebody the Mila Daraisa, Vishalman Chaimish, you have to pay the Karen Vachaimish, as we explained in our introductory remarks, the Rabbanan Lod. So as all the Rishonim point out, there's obviously a much more fundamental difference. We said that when one does Mi'ila, you have to bring an Asham Mi'ilas. Certainly you can't bring an Asham Mi'ilas when the Mi'ila is only the Rabbanan. Why? Because if it's only Mila Darabbanan, there was no Mila Midaraisa, if you bring a carbon, it'll be Chulin Ba'azara. But that, explained to Rishonim, the Gemara need not say. It's obvious. The Chiddush is that there is no Chiyiv Chaymish. Why not? So Rishonim disagree. Some Rishonim say because the Chaymish travels together with the carbon. That's how the Mefarish seems to learn. So we just learned that there's no Chiyiv carbon, there is no Chiyiv Chaymish. Others say it's not that the Chaymish necessarily travels together with the carbon. Chazal, when they established the din of Mila Drabonim, did not establish that there's a Chiyiv Chaimish. There's a question I saw the Mepharshim ask. Don't we have a rule throughout Shas called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kain Daraisa Tikkun? Whenever the Rabbanan make a Takana, they make a Daraisa, that Takana similar to the Raisa. So if by the Raisa there's a halach of Karen V'Chaimish, why didn't the Rabbanan say there should be Karen V'Chaimish by Mila Drabonim? So I saw the Mepharshim say a very nice teretz. When did the Rabbanans say that we fashion the Rabbanans after the Daraisa? In a case where they could be identical. But since, as we just explained, Mila Darabbanan can never be identical to Mila Daraisa. Because by Mila Darabbanan there can never be a carbon, and by Mila Daraisa there will be a carbon. So since they can't be identical anyway, that's why Chazal said, by Mila Darabbanan you don't have to give a chaymish. And that's the Mishnah's Mila. Ask the Gemara, and do we find a case of Mila Drabbanan? Answer the Gemara in. Absolutely. Dama Ula Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Kotshim Shemesu, Kotshim that die, Yotzmedei Mila, Devat Torah. They're no longer subject to Mila as we explained in Amr Aleph. But what is Ula saying? Alma Midaraisa Lay Islam. Once they die, they're no longer subject to Mila Daraisa. But Drabbanan is behind. They're still subject to Mila Drabbanan. Hacha Nami Midrabbanan. So too, our Mishnah is teaching us they're subject to Mila Drabbanan. But ask the Gemara, now we have a different question. If we're saying that at least according to Rabbah, we have to explain that our Mishnah is speaking about Mila Drabbanan, so when Ula introduces us to the concept of Mila Drabbanan, he's not teaching us anything new that we haven't learned in the Mishnah. And we know that what our Meroim do is that they teach us something that we don't see in a Mishnah. They didn't come just to repeat what a Mishnah says. So ask the Gemara, Lema Tanina Laha Da Ula Amar of Yochanan? Does Ula have to tell us what we learned in a Mishnah? What's Ula teaching us? Answers the Gemara, Afgav the Tanina, even though the din of Ula has been mentioned in our Mishnah, that our Mishnah already taught us that there's a concept of Mila Drabbanan, it's Richt Ula. We still need Ula's case. The Sakadatachamina Hocha Lobidelimanheim. Here, since this animal is not inherently something that people will stay away from, that's why it's subject to Mila. Avakachim Shemesu, an animal that dies, that hoil ubidelimanhu, since people anyway will stay away from that animal, maybe Mila Midrabbanan Loy. It shouldn't be subject to Hilchus Me'ilah, Kamash Malam. That's why Ula teaches us that in all situations, even by Kachem Shemesu, it's subject to Me'ilah. And the Sfas Emes says a beautiful pshat in what the Gemara means. He says, in the case of our Mishnah, where the animal was brought to Dorim, so we have this animal that was processed improperly, and it's together with all the other Kabbalists in the Beis HaMikdash that were processed properly. So since you have all of these animals together, and therefore those other animals are subject to Hilchos Me'ilah, so Chazal said that this animal should also be subject to Hilchos Me'ilah. Whereas when you have an animal that died, the animal that died didn't die in the Beis HaMikdash, it died wherever it was. So it's that together with other animals that are subject to Me'ilah D'Oraisa. So therefore, since it's not intermingled with all those other animals, I would think it should not be subject to Hilchos Me'ilah. Kamashmalan, that even when that one individual animal that died is there by itself, and it died, it's not subject to Me'ilah D'Oraisa, but it's still subject to Me'ilah D'Rabbanan.